They didn't join this team to win championships or become famous. They joined because there is important work to be done, and only some able to do it.
An ad from the U.S. Army to boost recruiting this summer. This year, the Army needs to add about 59,000 soldiers. Earlier this summer, it fell behind in that effort, but it's now narrowed the gap and projects it will meet or even exceed its yearly goal when the fiscal year ends in September. And the goal is smaller than in previous years. The Army is downsizing. The Obama administration scaling back the Army to its lowest level since before World War II, cutting staff and about 80,000 soldiers at the mid and upper levels while trying to recruit fresh troops. So how to best do that? Let's get a view from the top. From Major General Jeffrey Snow, new head of the U.S. Army Recruiting Command. He joins us from Louisville, Kentucky. And General Snow, there's sort of a good news, bad news story here because there's good news in the economy, unemployment down below 6%. But what does that mean for you?
Traditionally, we know that when the economy is good, that makes our job a bit more challenging. But, you know, there's a perception out there that exists that you know, we're only looking for folks that may have trouble finding a job. And I'd like to take this opportunity to say that I don't think that's accurate. We know it has an impact, but in fact, we are looking for quality people to join the services. And we'd like to be a first course of action, not necessarily the last course of action.
Well, you want them to think that the military is a good job with good pay and a good lifestyle.
I think the Army is an incredible opportunity to serve your country and be part of something bigger than yourself. And we offer nearly 150 career opportunities for new soldiers. So I do think it's a tremendous organization. But, you know, it also offers service. And I think in the generation today, sometimes we sell them short. But I think the youth of today really want to be part of an organization that is about more than themselves. So I think that service to country, the tradition, the history, and all that the Army has to offer, I think they ought to consider us. I mean, we spend a lot of time talking about sports teams, but I will tell you, we are one of the most incredible teams on the face of the planet and a force for good.
And there you are doing your job. You're trying to get that message out. But there's another, I guess you could say, good news, bad news that you are having to deal with. Many would say the good news is we're being more transparent as a country about how troops came home from recent wars and the help that they need.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you say that is a good thing. However, what's that doing for recruiting efforts?
There is no question that the impact of the wars in Iraq and in Afghanistan have had an impact on our force. And you're absolutely right. For those soldiers that have been wounded in harm's way, we absolutely have an obligation as an Army and as a nation to take care of them. I get concerned about this, though, because I think there's a perception by some mothers and fathers that they may think that just because they support their son or daughter coming to the Army, that's going to mean that they're going to come home in a diminished capacity. And quite frankly, Robin, I just don't think that is an accurate statement. That possibly exists. But the vast majority of our young men and women come in and they blossom, they serve in the military, they go on to do bigger and better things. And I get a little concerned that those figures that are really designed to make sure we don't forget about our fallen and our wounded may be hurting our ability to recruit youth into the Army of today.
You say the good news is there are organizations raising money for things like Wounded Warriors, but that means pictures and advertising reaffirming that image of broken troops. And then you add to that the VA scandals.
There's no question that is a concern. But, you know, once again, I think the Army has some incredible leadership opportunities, educational benefits and training that'll prepare people for the future. And while that possibly exists of being hurt in the service of your country, in the grand scheme, it's a very small percentage that actually face something like that.
And we should say that the National Institutes of Health say that about 11% of returning vets from Afghanistan, it's probably likely in the same range for Iraq, do come home with PTSD that is terrible. I'm sure you wouldn't want one, but that isn't the image that people have, as you say, of 100% of troops returning with these issues. There is another issue that recruiters face, and this might surprise people. There aren't enough people that can meet the standards.
Right. You're absolutely correct. This is one of the societal challenges that we have, and that is in 7 out of 10 cases, so 71%, there's an educational, medical, or physical limitation that prevents an individual from coming into the military. And quite frankly, part of that I find this amazing, you know, obesity accounts for about 31% of those disqualifications. So that's something as a nation I think we really got to take a hard look at.
Maybe start gym classes again in schools that have cut them.
Yeah. You know, there's been times when you look at history where we've made it, you know, we've made fitness a priority, but it doesn't seem to be resonating with the youth of today, which makes it a challenge for them to meet the physical limitations or the physical requirements required to join any of the services.
Wow. 71% of those who try to enlist are turned away. If you're just joining us, that's Major General Jeffrey Snow, new head of U.S. Army Recruiting Command, on the challenges of recruitment in 2015. So, General, we heard your sales pitch. You know what you think this offers young people. Do you have another perception problem in 2015 after two wars, one which was waged based on false intelligence, the other in Afghanistan, spiraled on for years? Both destabilized the region, led to the birth of ISIS. What do you do about a lack of faith, first of all, in leaders to wage and carry out a war, and then the perception of an enemy that doesn't abide by the rules of war?
Well, I think the first thing I would point out that when you go back and look at the last 10 years, I mean, the youth have really stepped forward. I mean, we have been successful in meeting our mission year after year. So, you know, once again, I think that service to the country, those that recognize that joining the military means that the likelihood they're going to go into harm's way, they've continued to step forward. I think with regard to your last point about ISIL, it's just, to me, that's a reflection that there's a certain perception in the wake of Iraq, the drawdown in Iraq and the pending drawdown in Afghanistan, that the world is a safer place and getting less complex. And I don't think that's necessarily borne out by the facts. Mm-hmm. There is going to be a requirement for the Army for years to come, and we need quality youth to step forward and be part of that.
Well, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you about the recent news. Shootings in Chattanooga, 5 killed, 4 Marines and a sailor. Recruitment centers were targets. And it launched the debate, should they be armed? Should the military in communities recruiting be armed? In a couple of cases, citizens came to protect recruiters, and those citizens were armed. How do you feel about this debate?
I do think there are things that we need to do to enhance the force protection of our facilities and fully support that. My personal opinion is that I don't know that we need to arm recruiters. I get concerned about the impact it has on our ability to maintain those linkages to the communities. Obviously, we go in and out of schools a lot. My concern is that there are going to be some individuals that see somebody outside of one of our recruiting centers with a weapon. It may cause them to think twice about coming in and speaking to one of our great recruiters. But obviously, there's a concerted effort to take a look at our facilities. I think that's absolutely the right thing to do. And ultimately, there'll be a decision will be made, and we'll execute that particular decision.
Yeah. And one personal question. You're in the Army because you were recruited by the academies. An excellent hockey player, we understand. You chose West Point. Completed your service, but stayed. You fell in love with the Army. Why?
I fell in love with the mission. I do think our efforts make a difference. And although people tend to talk and see in terms of war, and that is a part of what we do, I would argue, you know, my experiences, whether it was in Kosovo or Iraq, really what you find is most of us stay in because we protect people, we improve their quality of life, we give children the opportunity to to go to school. We give them access, get, you know, help support getting them them getting access to medical care. I mean, I think there's that part of it is it's the mission that I love, and I do think we make a difference in the security of our country. The second part of that is I fell in love with the people. Generally, these are people that come in with a value similar to my own. They've got a desire to be about to participate in something that's bigger than them, and I have fallen in love with the people that that have chosen this particular lifestyle, which is one of public service and making a difference.
That's Major General Jeffrey Snow, head of U.S. Army Recruiting Command, a new job for him. So, General Snow, thanks for speaking to us about it.
Well, thank you, Rob. Very much appreciate you having me on today.